Okay.
There you go.
At this time, we will reconvene if we can get all the board members to the table.
He was working, I saw it.
We are.
He was in his private chambers.
So, tell us the story behind this document, the strategic plan for the JEFCO 2020 vision and how it came to be and what are the big ideas. So, Tom and I are new to the community and explain this to us.
Well, I'll start by telling you what I have heard. I did not participate in this process, but I remember hearing about it. There was a desire to bring together community voices to say, what do we want a graduate of JEFCO to know and be able to do? And through a maybe 6-month process of committee work and involving, I believe, 70 plus members of the community, some parents, some educators, some business people, community leaders, traits that really captured what we want from and for students. Things like academic understanding, good content mastery, math, reading. We want our kids to be literate and numerate and capable of critical thinking. But also, we want them to have some sense of personal responsibility and a sense of that learning continues. And that they need to be able to be shapers, not just recipients of learning. So these traits grew out of a facilitated conversation that was then kind of handed off to just district internal work. And it's now implemented to the degree that our community is not super familiar with it. We learned from a recent community survey, parent survey, that most don't know what the JEFCO 2020 vision is or means.
So there were the 5 competencies identified that months of work.
Right.
And this was, I think, the chief academic officer's work to operationalize. What does that look like for our staff? And it also, I think, was developed through the Strategic Planning Advisory Council work, so community members, staff, months of work. I remember lots of colored charts trying to narrow down what those 5 competencies, what that work would look like, and how to try to show it in a simple way.
Mm-hmm. And the tree is designed by students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the board ends are aligned with 5 competencies, I think, more than...
Because we have 3 end statements, I do think that they're more aligned with these strategies than they are with, say, the 5 competencies. Mm-hmm. And they are more succinct. The board ends are slightly more succinct.
Okay.
I think there was original intent, and I'm trying to remember some of this, but I think, the intent was originally to broaden our perspective on what student education and student learning was about. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, a desire to teach the whole child, you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's clearly present.
And to me, that was, I know it sounds silly, but that was that visual of the tree.
Yes.
And I would say, I will bet you a lot of people recognize the tree.
Yeah.
They just don't know.
If you were to ask, what do you know about this, and the way that it was presented in schools, and then what it means to that school, what it means all on those micro levels, and then, is it a lopsided tree here? Is it a balanced tree here? I know that's simplifying it, but to me that was student
created.
But then backing into the verbiage and the breakdown of that, I remember having a lot of discussions on a retreat, but not about this document itself.
Retreat.
Yeah,
we had a retreat that focused on board ends, and we did make a concerted effort to align this.
Yes.
Yes. And we spent a lot of time.
Cena worked with this to help find language for the ends.
And that's where the alignment,
Okay.
The tree actually works better for me.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a positive, helpful visual.
Yeah, and that seems to work all right.
So that was one of the things when I started studying JEFCO and really in preparation for the interview with you guys, that struck me that the tree is a good logo, but it's it's off-brand. Like, you got this purple swooshy star thing, and then you did this. So, how, like, true. Apple doesn't do stuff like that, you know?
Right.
Like, you have a brand.
Right, yeah. Right. Which is it's a great question. Yeah. My understanding is I think they handed the 2020 vision over to maybe Warren Tech graphic design students, mm-hmm. and there was a project or something.
One of the members of the committee, of the 75-member, was a student at Warren Tech.
Who created that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a helpful visual. And I think it is easier to connect with for people than a page and a half of verbiage.
But I also don't think it's necessarily our brand. I don't.
What are you saying?
Right.
I don't view it as the brand.
When you launch something new, from a marketing perspective, it should look and feel consistent with the other things that you've done.
That it lived.
And it's not a radical departure. Mm-hmm. Like you when you have a brand image, I mean, you can refresh and improve and change your, you know, logos and brand image, but you frequently, infrequently do sort of a radical departure. That's why I said Apple. You know, that's a great example of a company that is really well branded. Is when you walk into the Apple store, it's got a look and feel. When you go to the website, it's got a look and feel. Their products have a look and feel. It's all consistent and thoughtfully designed. That was one of the geniuses of Steve Jobs, is he really put a lot of emphasis around design and simplicity, and that mm-hmm. pervades everything that company does now. And so it's just a question I had. Like, I like the tree, but it's such a radical departure from everything else.
So
the
that
other
versus
brand.
That?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Incongruent. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this stuff?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is at this point, so we've got to think our way through what do we do now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you're asking the question about where the tree came from, but I guess my question would be where the swoosh and the star came from, and where's the meaning there?
Yeah,
because I couldn't identify that.
As you were speaking, I was like, what is our brand? I know it's terrible to say, but that's how I started to think, as opposed to, how long has it been around here?
But you'll see it, I see it on some buses and stuff, I think.
Yeah, as superintendent, after going through some development of the JEFCO's first strategic plan, I believe. Beyond that.
I would be surprised if it wasn't just a marketing company, a graphic art designer that did it. Yeah. And you see lots of sort of swooshy stars, like a school stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of swooshy stars even in Colorado where people use it.
Yeah. Can you guys help me understand the five images that are in the tree, and then there are three strategies here. So I don't understand.
For me, that's most incongruous.
Well, if you look at this, the paragraph here is really where the rubber meets the road. I think when I look at the thing, content mastery, that's the stuff we want our kids, the actual data, the facts that we want our kids to go
on skills. I would say it's not,
And then critical thinking, creativity, that's sort of how to brainstorm, how to participate, how to apply those facts that we want them. Civic and global engagement. Yeah. To me, that's a value statement of we need our kids to be able to participate in community organizations. We want them to know that they have a place in the world and that they have an impact on the world and what they do. Communication, self-direction, those are attributes that are going to be necessary for their successful participation in the economy. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are tied to one of the little pictures in the graphic. Mm-hmm. After that, it gets really hard for me too.
Yeah. Well, I kind of always thought of this as for the students, and this is for the staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I always looked at it.
Yeah. Well, I would say students and families.
Can I see
families.
The tree, please?
Families, yeah. I mean,
that's, so the that's logos on the tree relate to the competencies, which is another jargony word in itself, competencies.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And the three strategies are a way in which those five competencies are going to be achieved.
Run into being. Gotcha. Yeah, that's the theory about it. Mm-hmm. When I read the competencies, I mean, there's, again, a lot of good stuff in there. When you step back and think about what the spirit of this was, it's the right word. When you look at writers and thinkers about these kinds of skills, really, it's really skills. Tony Wagner, Ken Robbins, you know, people like that, I think they would say yes to these competencies or skills, and right, you miss some things. Like, where is your collaboration? Where is your entrepreneurialism or initiative, risk-taking. You know, there are some skills that are important.
And I think those last couple, the live within self-direction and mm-hmm. personal responsibility, I do think collaboration and teamwork is a huge piece that's missing. Mm-hmm. I also know that Jeffco, and again, this is that kind of institutional build-up over time of multiple layers of what we do and how we do it. There are four key values, and one of them is teamwork, integrity, teamwork. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have inherited several things.
Yes.
And finding a way to connect them and weave them together will be important. I also think that there are ways to talk about this. This is a document that I believe works for people in the field. This is for educators and teachers. And I think even the language around the competencies themselves, which are first using with students and families, are education-y more than they are mm-hmm. shared language.
And honestly, they're not even, these, in my view, are way too wordy
mm-hmm. yeah.
to really effectively communicate. Mm-hmm. A gazillion years ago in law school, they teach you about using active voice, not passive voice, mm-hmm. getting rid of the unnecessary yeah, phrases.
Right. Can they be
because
verbs
they
instead?
Obscure your statement.
As I'm reading it, I'm not imprinting a picture.
No.
Yeah.
That's an immediate non-connection.
When you get to the end of a section and you go, I don't have any idea what
I just read.
Contrast that to, you know, the Levin piece we had, right? Mm-hmm. Which was
right.
Concise.
Every word was
yeah.
meaningful.
Important. Well, and I think it often falls into being self-referential. Anytime it reads about a focus on, an emphasis on, mastery of the Jeffco 2020 competencies, mm-hmm. it stops being transparent and applicable to me. So if we want people to understand, not just know the term Jeffco 2020 vision, it can't be so self-referential. It has to be more specific and more active.
It's not
get
relational. I mean, it's just, it's not.
Yeah.
You're talking about the competencies.
Well, talking about this
documentation as well is very self-referential. Right. I think yeah. it talks okay. a lot about, we're going to integrate the 2020 vision. We're going to emphasize. We're going to.
Hand me that tree for a second.
For me, strategy, there's a difference maybe between strategy and tactic, but it's mm-hmm. the strategy still feels like it's yeah. too.
And we're gonna, when we talk about the deliverology work, that's what that is getting some precision around what do we mean by strategy, tactic, performance metric, what
great.
Is that stuff. And mm-hmm. So maybe that's where we go next.
And I do want to affirm, it is at least pushing beyond, for example, a very mimetic understanding or a narrow understanding of what education means and how I want my children and Jeffco children to receive something that encompasses their whole selves and
yes.
honors
yes.
their whole selves and opens learning and rigor or vigor, which I've always been.
Right. Or engagement.
Engagement yeah. to that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. So is there, so when I was looking at those side yeah. by side, I kept thinking, okay, these are the ends, mm-hmm. this is the means. Mm-hmm. Is that, mm-hmm. as far as, so this would be for leadership, upper leadership.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is
I
that,
know we read it yeah, as a upper leadership team,
right.
and we had many of the same critiques that you guys do, like
yeah.
right spirit, right direction. Like we're and when I read it, when I started studying Jeffco to think about coming here, I was like, this is the right stuff. Like this is what
right.
I'm excited
yeah.
about doing. Mm-hmm. So the spirit is in the right.
It's
place.
Accurate. It's just ineffective.
So,
yeah.
Well, no.
And but then when we,
right.
as even the cabinet started delving into it, we were like, well, what did we mean by that, or what is the?
Okay.
Yeah. So it was just
right.
From even. If the intent of this document was to sort of clarify and so people could enact, I don't think it gets
there. It didn't get there.
Right. Because
right.
it doesn't give you enough direction or meaning or steps.
Definition
about what is it we're asking you to do.
Yeah. Agreed.
What's the big thing? What's the key goal?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll pass this around. And any other sort of comments or thoughts on this as that comes around?
I will highlight two things that I really like. I do like that there was community input, that there was an opportunity for some, a very few, but a small number in a very big community to connect with this. And I do think it reflects some of the desires that we do hear from business people and from parents, that they want their kids ready for what is a competitive global life that they're about ready to start. I also like that I don't think the language of the competencies themselves live in a collaborative or relational way. They can really, you can say, are we doing this for a single individual student? But the image of the tree for me speaks toward a sense of kind of something that's more organic and connected. And I think that recognizing that we have independent students that we're trying to accomplish something for, but we need to have them live through it in a place, in a way that is creates a healthy level of interdependence. And I think that all of this work, like social emotional wellness, family and community engagement, speaks to that sense of connection and interdependence that I wouldn't want us to lose.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Again, you know, great spirit that's within us.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's at a site-based level, I know I keep going back to the tree, but that graphic and then moving the words up so that people understand that thing, that's going to mean something different to every community. And it, having a uniform platform to discuss that, but then create that vision in their school, I have seen be incredibly effective and meaningful. But that is not necessarily anything to do with this document.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the rubber hits the road. This becomes reality when the experience that the student is having is aligned to those competencies.
Right.
We'll still keep using that term for now. But so we're talking about the same things. When the task that the student is doing is giving them the chance to practice those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, to me, the biggest missing piece is how have we supported, going back to Levin's piece, how have you supported the staff in changing the way they teach or the way instruction happens, where we're giving kids, if this is what we think is the big thing, how have we really changed the practices where that's happening?
Well, I also think about having served on a school accountability team, I haven't seen the competencies used, and they may be in some places, and they may have been at my own kid's school and when I wasn't there to see it. If this is what we're aiming for our students, is it living in the conversations of how a school community is doing that? I don't know that we've enabled that, facilitated that yet.
Well, I think that's like our next steps, and I think they've actually been working on that the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not about changing the task or changing how we do something. It's about changing how we look at what we're doing, because a lot of what they're doing in the classroom covers all of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not having those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's be smart about how we're asking this to be implemented, so we're not, you know,
changing,
throwing
the game
more
again.
Red tape at them.
So I talked to the principal at the open school, and he's like, "This is all this stuff we've been doing."
They do it daily.
Forever. 40 years we've been doing that.
Well, none of this is new invention, right? It's just repackaging. So,
this is their blueprint.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I mean
that's
it
right.
is.
Yeah.
But what I will, there was an experience at our very first CASB annual convention where I listened to the Poudre School District superintendent and board present on their rewritten ends. They were on the same journey of saying, how do we really measure our effectiveness in serving and growing whole children? They recognized that there was a hunger and a real receptiveness to saying, you're starting to ask questions that we're excited to give you answers for, not because you're asking us to do something new, but because you're going to start to capture, in addition to standardized test scores, some of the information that we use to know whether or not our school is welcoming and safe, whether or not our children are engaged. One example that I loved was they said, we now ask students once a year, can you name two adults who are not in your family who have a stake in your future? Finding ways to say, how do we measure? What are the next steps that allow us to make this live? Not just on a document, but in the experiences of students and school communities.
Is your question whether we need to really dig in on the message, or is your question, are we kind of okay with the message and really need to dig in on the delivery? I mean, I'm just trying to, because we did the survey.
I want
survey,
us to find the goals.
Survey did not come back positive.
Well, I would say that there was a lot
of survey.
Make Your Voice Heard is the survey that parents take every other year and students take every other year, and I think there's an option to do it more often if the school community wants to do it. I would say that there was maybe They piloted some Jeffco 2020 questions in some schools. So they haven't totally incorporated the 2020 vision into every one of the surveys, but they piloted some questions. What I do remember is that they asked everybody, are you familiar with the Jeffco 2020 vision? And it was like a third kind of heard of it.
That's not good.
So that's not great. It's also new, right? Yeah. It's also very new. Yeah. However, it was very low. And that question, I believe, was universally asked.
Okay.
But they also tried to find questions that could be used regarding each of those competencies. Mm-hmm.
And then I saw self-evaluation after that. Is it our messaging? Is it not applicable to our community? Do we need to rework that? That I did see the circle back, but to your point, not everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, we're never going to have that. But so that's where that's where the disconnect comes for me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is it is there a better way to message this?
Well, and I also think you all will do the strategizing work. We as a board need to work on find the goals. What are the end results that so for me, I look at this document, the strategic plan, but I also pulled up our board ends. Because we have aligned our board ends. I want to know that those are the right work. Mm-hmm. Are they concise? Mm-hmm. Are they asking, are they getting kind of the, I'm not sure that we have a few measurable goals yet.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I don't want to rewrite this. I'm going to leave that to you all. But I do want to make sure that our ends and the specific measurable goals connected to them do the right work in a way that will give the positive pressure to measure, celebrate, and improve at that better, broader kind of 21st century vision of learning, which is to... the principal over there at the Open School, he'll say, I don't like it when people call us non-traditional. We're the most traditional. This is how learning has happened for thousands of years. So recognizing that children are whole people.
So I think to summarize sort of this, we like the spirit that was in this. We have questions about its clarity. We have questions about its completeness. We have I think, Allie, you really made this point well. The systemness, like what are we doing as a system to actually execute this? We don't know what that is. It's happening in some places, but we haven't created systems around it. So, I think when Tom and I looked through this, just with a fresh set of eyes, those were the same things, reactions that we had as well.
It's, I think sometimes when you get a document like this, that's this complex, one almost gets overwhelmed by the complexity of the document.
Yeah.
There isn't anything in here that offends me, really.
Sure.
bothers me.
Well, that's a relief.
But I don't know that it helps us.
Yeah.
Well, and the people that I think would be critical to get feedback on this strategic plan document would be principals and probably achievement directors. Is it effective for them?
Is this a leadership tool?
Right.
Yeah.
But I also think, I would have a lot of teachers' eyes on it to make sure it is sound.
Is this what we're doing and should be doing?
Yeah.
It's again, the spirit is well intended and in the right pointed in the right direction. But if I were a principal and handed this with all of the stuff that I've got going on,
eyes glaze over.
It wasn't a pile.
Yeah.
Okay, so we beat that horse.
Have we told you yet that this is your job?
I've got a plan. I want you to hang on to that for now.
And to extend the metaphor, this is one of the grains of sand.
This should be the big fish. When we put strategic vision or plan on something, that's the big stuff, right? So we got to lift this up and say, okay, if this is the big stuff, let's get some clarity about what that is and how we're going to deliver that.
So we can make sure this isn't just a glossy in every school.
So this little packet that came around, I'll walk you guys through the deliverology framework, because what it's all about is forcing an organization to get clarity around the things that it's trying to do, the language it's using, and then put in systems to execute that, and then also systems to monitor progress and adapt and adjust. And so it's a really intentional framework for turning your strategic plan from something that's a document that you look at every couple of years, criticize, and then replace with something just as bad. into something that's aspirational that you work on executing, and you keep coming back to it as the central work. The Deliverology framework came into being in the UK under Tony Blair's administration, and it started in the Ministry of Education and then spread through that entire administration, and the person that's sort of at the forefront of it is Sir Michael Barber, who was the Minister of Education under Tony Blair. So the first thing is just to start calling things by their right names, right? That's Confucius say. The beginning of wisdom is to call things by their right names. So, and Brad, you were sort of struggling with the strategy, tactic, you know, what does this mean? And so in deliverology, you need to get some precision around what you mean by that. So let me walk you guys through some components of deliverology. And then once we do that, I'm going to show you some examples of it. And then we're going to have an authentic task. This is the same sort of thing that we're asking students to do. I'm going to ask you to take an element of your current strategic plan and apply this framework to it. So that's going to be kind of the activity or exercise that we're going to do. And it's going to be hard. I'm going to tell you right now, because I've tried to do it and it's hard. Yeah, but I think it will reveal. I'll let that emerge on its own. So walking through some of these elements, strategy, a high level plan of action or approach to achieve an overall aim. So an example of a strategy, you might say that we have a strategy around quality educators or improving the quality of our educators or professional educators. So that's sort of a high-level strategy that we're focused on. A tactic is a finer-grained component of a larger strategy. So an example might be educator recruiting, right? We recruit educators so that we can contribute to having a quality educator workforce. So the tactic is related to the larger strategy. So a tactic fits under a strategic approach. A tactic or a strategy lead is the individual responsible for moving work forward on the strategy or tactic. And so in this case, we'll use this example of educator recruiting. The tactic lead might be Amy, the Chief Human Resources Officer. And actually, we went through this with the cabinet yesterday, and she actually has someone on her staff that's responsible for recruiting. And so that person is really the tactic lead. So that is the point person who's responsible for moving this tactic forward. So the tactic or strategy team is the group working either with or for the tactic or strategy lead on moving the strategy or tactic forward. So this is the group that in the case of recruiting, you'd have your chief human resources officer, you probably have your chief communication officer, you may have other people on the communication team, you might have HR team members that are going out and doing recruiting, you might have consulted or hired a outside marketing firm to do some of the branding and redesign. So that's your team, tactic team. A stock take, and just some foresight into where we're heading. A stock take is a regular procedure where progress and challenges related to the strategic plan at either the strategy or tactic level is presented to both the district cabinet and to the board. So what I'm saying there is that you guys ought to be getting regular updates on your strategic plan and how we're doing on it, and measures about what progress we are making. And I would like, again, looking ahead, to replace our board monitoring procedures with that. So you get the board monitoring procedure. Typically, it's buried in the consent agenda. It's probably the exact same language that somebody 15 years ago wrote in to report to the board. It's kind of an exercise we go through. Some of them are more important. Some of them are not so much. But if your strategic plan is the big thing, and it should be, then you should use your time getting reports about how we're doing on the strategic plan. So stock take is the mechanism. It's taking stock of progress, that term. So theory of change, a theorized causal description of outcomes and actions, usually framed in an if-then statement. So an example of a theory of change is, if we aggressively recruit professional educators to become Jeffco teachers, if we recruit people, then we will raise the quantity of our candidates in the pool. That's a fairly straightforward theory of change, right? We're going to recruit so that we can have a lot of people that apply. That's pretty straightforward. So when I look at this and try to develop a theory of change from it, it's hard. It's like, If we empower to educate, inspire to learn, connect to college, career, and life aspirations, and have leadership development for all stakeholders, then students will successfully apply the Jeffco 2020 competencies. So that might be a theory of change, you know, how you do this. And all the words that I said, there are a lot of problems because they're vague, right? What do we mean by that? So a theory of change is a component. SMART goal, I won't belabor, because all of you have heard SMART goals for many years, and there are different acronyms that you use in the SMART, but it's in this case, it's specific, measurable, agreed upon, so there's a sort of consensus reached about it, realistic and time-based. So we might say, by June 1, 2018, we will have achieved a 75-to-1 ratio of applicants to openings for all our certified teaching positions. And we may want to decompose that a little further and say, elementary, middle, high. We may want to look at math, science, special education roles. But there's right. This is a clear SMART goal. You had a question.
Awesome. Okay. 75-to-1.
Yeah. Allie's like, oh, that's a good goal.
Right. So a milestone is a clearly defined, significant step or action necessary in the accomplishment of a tactic. So we might say, so a milestone, again, staying in this recruiting example, we might say a milestone is we're going to reevaluate and rebrand all our marketing materials for educator recruiting. So we want to redo the brochures, we want to redo the documents, we want to change the website, we want to get new stand-up materials for our job fairs, we're going to redo all that. So that's an action that you take that contributes to your tactic and also contributes to your strategy. Leading indicator, data which predicts the accomplishment of a SMART goal. So we could look at how much money we spent on the rebranding effort, the number of marketing materials that were produced and distributed, website hits and downloads for recruiting materials. So that's not the thing itself, right? We don't really care. That's process stuff. But you measure the process stuff because it helps you predict the outcomes. If we didn't spend any money on recruiting, if we weren't having people visit the website, then that would tell us we're probably going to struggle with our tactic and the outcome. Trajectory, pretty simple. A time-based prediction on how long it will take to hit the SMART goal over time. An implementation heat map. I'll show you an example of that. If you turn the page and look at the implementation heat map on kind of it's got this kind of thing here. Okay. So for every strategy and tactic, we ought to be talking about how are we doing in terms of planning, the capacity within the organization to deliver it, how much progress we make, and what's our likelihood of hitting the target. So within the strategic plan, we ought to be measuring ourselves against these sort of benchmarks to know where we're being successful or not. And then the last two elements of the stock take are barriers. So what obstacles or barriers, challenges that are impeding our progress, and an honest conversation around resources. So we might, for example, have the person that's leading the recruiting effort come before the cabinet and then the board, and they say, I had my budget zeroed out for recruiting this year. And that's been a big challenge for me because we can't travel. I got no materials to hand out. I'm using recycled stuff from 4 years ago that's not competitive with other districts. So that person's telling you the barriers and challenges that they have. And then they get to ask you, here's what I need, right? I need a budget. Or I need some political leverage in the organization to get the marketing materials that I need. So resources, that last part, can come in many forms. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's political authority. I need you to clear this out of the way for me so I can get it done. Sometimes it's they need more time, sometimes it's they need more staff. Sometimes it's they need to communicate in a better, more effective way. So resources can come in a lot of form. But the punchline here should be, when you define your strategic plan, you've got to decompose it into things that provide clarity around what you mean. And then you need to have procedures in place where you're taking stock of progress. And both the cabinet and the board are hearing about that on a regular basis and giving feedback and support to the organization to help them deliver on what you wanted them to do. So I've given you guys a lot of information right now. I'm going to pause and see if there are questions.
I'm looking at the structure of the strategic plan. Help me to understand where you see the board's work living. We have board ends. Mm-hmm. Do you want that living within system indicators, or
is that built into the mission? It depends on how the ends are constructed. If the ends are sort of quantitative high-level measures of some point, then they fit into system indicators. So we look at some important performance metrics around how our organization is doing. Like we look at graduation rate, mm-hmm. we might look at remediation rate, we might look at ACT or SAT results. We might look at what schools kids are being accepted to. We might look at eighth grade math, third grade reading. I mean, there are key sort of benchmarks that you look at. So those are, to me, your system indicators. And those can and should be holistic, too, right? We might want to know how many of our kids are engaging in risky health behaviors, how many of them are using alcohol or drugs on a regular basis. So there can be some other sort of non-academic holistic indicators that you put into your system indicators, but you need some kind of dashboard to say how we're doing.
Yeah.
So your ends, depending on how they're framed, they could be those system indicators if they're sort of real, clear, measurable outcomes. Sometimes ends are written sort of as more philosophical, in which case I would say that they fit somewhere in the mission, vision, and values. So it really depends on how your ends are framed. How would you, where would you say they fit now?
Well, I would say that we have measurables, but they're not written into the end statements. Our end statements are aligned with the strategic plan and the JEFCO 2020 vision. However, we have been paying attention to some specific measurables like third grade reading and eighth grade algebraic thinking and graduation rates. And we've looked at 4-year, 5-year, 6-year graduation rates. What I think we have expressed an interest in is exploring some other measurables. For example, maybe it's discipline data, maybe it's survey information and data, maybe it's participation attendance. Information. Yeah, attendance, how many of our students are participating in a school-based or community-based sport, mm-hmm. arts, something program to understand how many, I would say that I think I have heard board yes. members express a desire for measurables that we can have in addition to those academic ones that we've been following closely.
Yeah, great.
But it also doesn't mean that those things don't have value, that we don't mm-hmm. honestly have to have a measure for yeah. everything to have it have a placeholder and a value on what we're doing.
But you can, right. And you can and should be creative in your measures.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. too. I mean, some things around like, you know, is there a, what's the public support or confidence okay. in the mm-hmm. school system, right? Yep. That might be important for us.
Right.
We can measure that. It's not... Right. You know, it may not be, there's sort of error in opinion and subjectivity in that measure, but we're fooling ourselves if we say the PARC results don't have error and
correct.
Subjectivity,
right? Sure.
Right? There's error in everything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're trying to get some indications of how we're doing.
Well, and I think our staff, what I see among district staff, is especially among the assessment and R&D department, they really understand that there's a need for a constellation of information, and they work hard to make sure that we're looking at results over time and that we're looking at several pieces or measures. I also think that that creates a challenge or at least an issue to have a conversation about regarding what are the measures, how much time as far as resources go does it take to gather them, and how much instructional time does that take away. So I think the measures are important, but we also want to be able to choose and find the ones that work for everybody and hopefully don't create duplicative work.
No, you want them to be as simple as you can. We look at the high-performing systems, they're testing at key gateway points like mm-hmm. third grade, eighth grade, exit of high school. That's it. Mm-hmm. Right? Everything else is formative in nature. So we're sort of forced by law to measure more frequently than that, but when we think about what are the system indicators for JEFCO, we can choose those same sort of key gateway transition points and focus in on those. Because we're backing up at the system level. Mm-hmm. We're system level leaders. How is our system doing?
And system level, we're utilizing, I would say, two key measures. And that would be right now CMAS and MAP. So knowing how and what we do with those.
Can I ask a professional teaching question, since it's not my thing. I remember during the Montessori discussion last year, they were talking about, you know, kids go through these developmental phases, 3-year-ish phases, and they do it kind of on their own schedule, but they can reliably do it within a period of time. Are we measuring the right timelines? Are we measuring, is third grade, eighth grade, and graduation, is that the right constellation of measurements? Are there things that we should add? Are there other time points that professionally we ought to be paying attention to?
You have some options around that, and there is no consistent answer, but I think we look to the international benchmarking as a good North Star, and so those systems tend to measure, have some kind of early childhood measure, have some kind of elementary measure, have a middle school measure, and then have a sort of secondary measure, and they tend to measure at the transition point, like at the end of elementary, at the end of middle school, at the end of high school. So, but there are different frameworks around when that happens, but in general, that's kind of what you want to look at. Look at your transition points and then identify your measure, and then benchmark against other systems that you think are high performing, because you need to know what good is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One of the things that we've lost in as we've shifted to PARC and the much more challenging proficiency rates is it dropped everybody in the country 20 or 30 proficiency points, right? And so when you look at NAEP or PARC results, the best systems in the country are getting 55% pass rates, right? So it's sort of, you got to look at what is a high-performing system achieving and then align yourself and say, this is the goal that we want to try.
Well, and I think it's important that we know that, because
yep, I agree with Brad.
If we're out there talking to the world...
55, that's an F in my day. It's really hard to help them understand the context of what does it mean to...
Yeah, you know, the PARC and this interstate consortia benchmarking didn't do us a lot of favors as far as getting back to that, you know, giving critics something to continually pound.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We need, when we're out in the world, we need to talk about what the benchmarks are that we are measuring and why, and then we need to talk about how we are standing up, because that's part of the accountability. But we have to educate the world on what they ought to be paying attention to.
Right. And in the world of PARC, you know, those proficiency rates, you know, 60 is the new 90. Really, that's the truth. You know, if you're getting 60% pass rates on PARC,
remember
the old
that, Brad,
CSAP,
60
is
the new.
I couldn't be right in saying that.
No, well, and this is part of what matters to that your point of those best practices. You need
to
customize learning, because if you're aiming for 60, you have some students that will land there far sooner or far later, or they're excel in certain. So this is for me where if our North Star is students and what it is that we want for their learning and lives, how do we help them navigate an understanding of themselves in relation to what? I want to know we're differentiating between what are system indicators and then what are those tools that help a student understand themselves as learners and doers.
Mm-hmm. Right. So from the strategic planning standpoint, I will be pulling you guys back to the high-level system stuff.
Okay.
And that is absolutely not to say that the formative on the ground, you know, day by day, or even minute by minute feedback loops that teachers have in place aren't important. If you're not doing that, you're not going to get to you know, your higher level stuff. And I would even say that's an important tactic of the organization is what are you doing around formative measures, feedback loops that for students and for classroom teachers that provide good and valid, reliable, and instant information. If you don't have that in place, you're not going to get to the high level stuff.
And to your question, are we measuring the right things at the right time? Measuring the right things, I mean, my answer to that would be no, because they're very narrowly focused.
Yeah.
The measurements that we are talking about just even right now. Mm-hmm. So,
you're talking about
it seems like
PARC.
There's big gaps in
we're talking
there.
About numeracy and literacy, which is for it is formational understanding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can't let go of it. But
I'm not saying let go
there.
Of it.
Nope. Yeah.
It's just a piece.
It's just.
Yeah, so I think you have to recognize that this is a narrowly defined, limited set of knowledge, but it's important.
Oh, yes.
So we can have elements like that as part of our system indicators, but we also should be brought more broadly.
Yeah, rather than just having, you know, the test score as the thing I want out there we're talking about, I'd like to have two other elements that are not number oriented,
I think numbers help.
Numbers are important.
Yeah,
I guess what I'm saying is they have to measure something more broadly, whether it's attendance or engagement in other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, I'd like to have those as part of our messaging to the community.
Yeah, like an example would be our choice out of traditional schools in our junior year in high school. Why is that happening? If they have this, they have this, they have this. It's how much we talk about that test score
And there are other measures of just trying to also continue the dialogue about the other indicators, the other benchmarks, mm-hmm. that not throwing those out and not devaluing those,
right.
but recognizing in our dialogue, because we spend a lot of time, it feels like, in a systems mm-hmm. approach, which I get, mm-hmm. talking about that. I just want to elevate a couple things, mm-hmm. if we can, mm-hmm. to be consistent with how much time we have spent on all these other potential measures or benchmarks. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if we're truly wanting to educate the whole child.
Yes.
Let's talk about the whole child.
Yes. Yes.
So moving forward today, I'm going to have you guys work at the strategy and tactic level. So we're going to have to get to this higher order stuff, mission, vision, values, system indicators. Some of this is baked into the strategic plan. It's kind of convoluted. But we need to, again, start calling things by their right names. Where do ends fit in that? That's the terminology we want. What do we mean when we say what are the board's end statements, and where does that fit in this framework somewhere? Mm-hmm. So if you look at this page here, at the bottom it says the basic framework for deliverology. This is really the elements of a stock take. There are four questions in deliverology that you have to keep asking yourself over and over again. The first one is, what are we trying to do? The second is, how are we trying to do it? The third is, at any given moment, how will we know if we're on track? And the fourth is, if we're not on track, what are we going to do about it? And so we need to keep passing the strategic plan through this lens. So the components, going back, if you think about a stock take presentation or when someone that's a tactic lead is coming to the board, we're going to ask them to answer these four questions for you. And they're going to do it by talking about what's the theory of action. If we do this, then we expect this to occur. The SMART goal, here's what we would expect, and here's the measure that we're going to use on the achievement of that. For the second question, how are we going to do it? They're going to talk about their milestones. Here are the key things that I'm going to enact. And their leading indicators. Here's some early data that tells me if I'm on the right track to hit the goal. For the third one, at any moment, how will we know if we're on track? We're going to ask our tactic leads to develop a trajectory over time for when they think they'll hit the SMART goal. And then every year, they're going to come in and report about the progress or lack of progress that they're making. Mm-hmm. And the implementation heat map. We're going to ask them to talk about, how am I doing in terms of planning? What's my capacity in the organization? How much progress can I show you? And what's my likelihood of success? All through the lens of, am I going to hit that SMART goal or not? Mm-hmm. And then the last one is, we're going to give them a chance to talk about, here are the challenges that I faced, and here are the obstacles that we'll put before me, and here's what I need from you. If we are serious about the organization hitting this goal, here's what the tactic lead needs from us to make that happen. So that's the structure of the stock take. So your task is on the back. And I'm going to give you guys some time to do this, and I'm telling you right now, you're going to struggle with this. Because the way that the current strategic plan vision is written didn't get to the level of precision that deliverology is going to force you into. So you're going to be able to take some license with it, right, and expand it, change it around. But your task, and this is the kind of stuff that we want our kids shifting to, the kind of learning. Task, congratulations. Your organization has just decided to start using the deliverology method for making progress on its strategic plan, and you have been assigned a part of a tactic team. One of you is the tactic lead, and you get to decide who's going to be the tactic lead. Develop a stock take based on some element of the district's current strategic plan. So you're going to pick out some part of this and throw us together a stock take on it. You may use whatever information, data tools you have at your disposal to complete the task. So I have an iPad that's connected. I think Tom got connected. I have a computer over here. You can reach out and use those things. We have chart paper. We have other stuff. Your stock take should cover the four deliverology questions.
Right?
So we got the four deliverology questions. That's what you got to do. So this is exactly what we're going to ask our staff to do. Go.
Okay. How do I hotspot?
I can't hotspot from here because I have no service. So my guess is no. I have service.
Okay. I'm going to go use the restroom.
Okay.
Sorry,
I did too.
You want to take a break for a second?
Okay, let's try.
I'm going to go to the girls' room.
I'd say we're taking a break.
I'd say we are.